Today's scripture reading is from John 14, 15 to 31. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed Holy Spirit, we'd like to thank you that you have bent over backwards to save us, to give us a home. And now, Lord, we pray that as we try to unpack these words which have just been read for us, and sometimes they are words that are very difficult to understand, we pray that you will give us an experience of the truth. Because Jesus says that we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So we pray, Lord, that you give us an experience of the truth now, and may we be willing to listen to you, to be obedient to you, to be obedient to your commands, as Jesus claims of us. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people said, Amen. So Jesus is still talking to his followers right after the Last Supper. And he tells them that he's leaving them. And while he's gone, if they love him, they will keep his commands. Those are his words. And he tells them that he will ask God the Father to give them another counselor, another advocate to help them. So the very fact that Jesus says the words, another counselor, another advocate, means that he claims to be their present advocate, to be their present counselor. And he says that the Father, the first person of the Trinity, will send them another advocate, another the counselor, when he leaves them. They will not be alone. So if we could read James chapter 4, 15 to 18 together right now to understand a little bit about this new counselor, this new advocate. Let's read John 14, 15 onwards together. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. So Jesus gives them this promise. They will not be alone. He will not leave them as orphans. God the Father will send another advocate, another counselor to be with them. And he is called the Spirit of Truth. Now, the Spirit of Truth is under the title for the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And today, as we are trying to understand this particular passage, which Kirsten has read for us and with us, we are trying to understand the mystery of the Trinity, because God lives in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, as we've just read, which means that He is God showing us the truth. So God is the source of truth in our lives. Through the Holy Spirit, God speaks truth in our lives. So Jesus gives us very difficult words here, because He says, and we will unpack this right now, what about those who do not accept the Spirit of Truth? What about those who do not respect the Spirit of Truth? This is what Jesus says about them who are resistant to the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him, the Spirit of Truth, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. So notice that truth is very much relational here, not a matter of right and wrong. The truth is something to do with having a relationship with God, namely through the Holy Spirit. So what happens if we do not accept the Spirit of Truth? First, there are so many voices in our lives, right? We only need to turn the radio on or look at the computer, and we see that there are so many voices clamoring for our attention, and we become confused and disoriented, and we say to ourselves, which voice is God's? Which one can I believe? Where can I find God? Where can I find God's truth? Second, Jesus says the world cannot accept the Spirit of Truth. And what is the world here? I believe when Jesus talks about the world, He's talking about those who are outside Jesus' circle of followers. And those who are outside Jesus' circle of followers, they reject the Spirit of Truth, according to Jesus. They reject, too, those who listen to the Spirit of Truth. They make life difficult for those who listen to the Spirit of Truth. They are hostile to the Spirit of Truth. In 1981, Stuart McAllister was part of a mission whose primary task was to help the church in Eastern Europe by transporting Bibles, hymn books, and Christian literature to believers. On one occasion, while attempting to cross the border from Austria into what was then communist-ruled Czechoslovakia, Stuart and his colleague were arrested and thrown into prison after guards discovered their concealed cargo. Without any idea when or if he might be released, Stuart's empty time and restricted space began to bring to surface feelings, questions, and doubts. He would be confined to prison for 2 weeks. In such circumstances, we are forced to face what we mean when we speak of faith, says Stuart. Do we have to believe in spite of the evidence to the contrary? Do we believe no matter what? How do we handle the deep and pressing questions our own minds bring as our expectations and reality do not match? For me, in my time in prison, I expected God to do certain things and to do them in a sensible way and time. I expected that God would act fairly quickly and that I would sense His intervention. My reading of Scripture, my grasp of God's promises, my trust in the reliability of God's word, the teaching I had received and the message I had embraced had led me to expect certain things and in a particular way. When this did not occur in the way I expected or in the timing I thought it should, I was both confused and angry. Since I had never given any conscious thought to world views in general, or mine in particular, I was unaware how many unexamined assumptions I was living by. I did not realize how little change had penetrated my heart, and under pressure, the gaps were painfully revealed and felt. From the perspective of time, I can now answer these questions meaningfully. But I needed the experience of doubt and hardship to show me how much I did not know or was not rooted in the biblical answers to these core questions. A worldview that merely answers questions intellectually is insufficient. It must also meet us existentially where we have to live. So when in the prison in then Czechoslovakia, Stuart becomes confused and angry. God does not meet up with his expectations. God seems to be absent. Where can I find God? Where can I find God's truth? Yet he is grateful that he has this experience of doubt and hardship to show him how much he does not know and how much he is not rooted in a biblical truth. So what do we do when God seems to be silent? When we feel we cannot hear God? When we find it so difficult to experience God's truth? Let us read these verses together slowly. Let us read it slowly. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So Jesus tells us that in the time when we find that we have so many voices around us, and we find it so difficult to perceive the truth of God's presence in our lives, Jesus tells us to pause. Jesus tells us to breathe. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you a peace that the world gives. Jesus calls us to pause and consider his peace that is present in our hearts when things around us get too troublesome for us. And you know, as we look at this verse, because we are people who are so caught up with the how, that we forget the who. Who is it who is with us? Jesus says he gives us more than his peace, actually, in this whole passage we've just read, not that particular verse only. He says he gives us his presence. Jesus is with us, even though the world around us may be in turmoil. So how is Jesus with us? How is Jesus with us to calm our hearts down and to give us the peace when all around us is trouble? Let us read John 14:26. But the advocate, Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The New Testament Greek word that is translated as advocate and also is translated as counselor in some other translation is a Greek word that is used for a lawyer who speaks on behalf in court. That's why the word advocate and counselor is used. But the Greek word is something very profound. The Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos. And it is a coming together of two words. Para, which is also has a root word of parallel. Okay, one of the root words of parallel. Para means to be by our side or to be alongside. And kletos or kletos means to be called, to be commissioned. Therefore, the word for the Holy Spirit, paraclete, advocate, counselor, actually means, and in English translated, it's called paraclete, the paraclete or the parakletos, actually means one who is called alongside us. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside us. The Holy Spirit is God who comes alongside us. The Greek word parakletos or paraclete is also an ancient warrior's term. Greek soldiers, when they went into battle with pairs, had their parakletos on the other side of them, on their blind side. So as they fought together in battle, their backs will be together and they will keep their backs strong, or they would be having their paraclete at their back, and they'll be fighting together. That's the meaning of the word parakletos. So when I'm saying to you, when things are pretty bad and the world's in turmoil, and you read this verse, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, and you pause for a while, sometimes or pretty soon, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit is there. And he begins to minister the peace of Jesus in your heart, because the Holy Spirit is the one who is called alongside us. He is God who comes alongside us even in the midst of battle and has our back covered. So not only is the Holy Spirit called to come alongside us, the Holy Spirit also teaches us all things that Jesus teaches us. The Holy Spirit reminds us everything of what Jesus has taught us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He communicates Jesus' truth. The Holy Spirit actually communicates more than Jesus' truth. The Holy Spirit communicates another person. We are talking now about the mystery of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit communicates Jesus Christ. Jesus presents himself to us as the person who comes alongside us because of the paraclete, because of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes alongside us through the Holy Spirit. Here is the mystery of the Trinity. So earlier, one of his followers asked Jesus this question. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Then John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus claims that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus provides the way to God. And if we want to meet God, we go to Jesus. When we know Jesus, we know God, the Father. And Jesus is not only the way to God. He is the truth. And truth, as we were trying to unpack, is not what is right and wrong only. Truth is relational. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit reveals God's relational truth to us. He is the Spirit of truth. And finally, Jesus claims to be the life. Jesus gives us life. Without Jesus, we would be dead spiritually. God gives us life and truth through Jesus in the Spirit who comes to live in our hearts when we give our lives to him. So through Jesus, God shows us the way the truth, and the life. We would be lost without Jesus. And through the Holy Spirit, God comes alongside us. You see the names of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God there. So I just want to state the obvious when it comes to the triune God. He is God who lives as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is God the Father, the first person of the triune God. He is also God the Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune God. And finally, He is God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God. Yet the Father is not the Son, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is not the Son. It's all a mystery. But it is through the mystery of the Trinity that God shows Himself to us and connects with us. And it is through the mystery of the Trinity, I would go even further than that. He not only shows Himself to us, and He not only connects with us, but through the mystery of the Trinity, God saves us. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. So here Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will live in us as the advocate, as the counselor, as the paraclete. And it is not only the Holy Spirit who makes His home with us. Let's look at John 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them," the person who obeys Jesus' teaching, "and we," and this is the Father and Son, "will come to them and make our home with them." So it is not only the Holy Spirit who makes His home within us, it is also the Father and Jesus who make their home with us. Basically, the Father, through the Son and in the Spirit, makes His home with us. Through the Paraclete, God makes His full being come alive in us. Through the Paraclete, God makes His home in us. When God makes His home in us, we have come home to God. God comes home to us first, before we can go home to Him. The Kare language of Equatorial Africa proved to be difficult for the translators of the New Testament, especially when it came to the word paraclete. What word could they describe the Holy Spirit with, the paraclete? One day the translators came across a group of porters going off into the bush carrying bundles on their heads. They noticed that in the line of porters there was always one who didn't carry anything, and they assumed he was the boss, there to make sure that the others did their work. However, they discovered that he wasn't the boss. This person who didn't have to carry anything had a special job. He was there should anyone fall over with exhaustion, and he would come and pick up the man's load and carry it for him. The porter was known in the Kare language as the one who falls down beside us. So the translators had their word for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Someone who falls down beside us when we fall down. And when we fall down, it is the Holy Spirit who falls down beside us and helps us carry the load again. And we rely on the Holy Spirit not only to carry the load, but to carry us. So much so, and you know the metaphor that I'm going to right now, so much so that there is only one set of footprints in the snow. Father, we just like to thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is the one who falls alongside us when we fall down. And we thank you that the weight of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is there with us as we fall down, because it is this Holy Spirit who will help carry our load and carry us, so that there will only be one set of footprints in the snow. We ask this in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen.